This episode of Bookmarked is brought to you by Libro.fm. Get two books for the price of one with your first month of membership using the code BOOKSTACKED. Libro.fm has the same audiobooks at the same price as that other audiobook store. You know who. But when you purchase from Libro.fm, you're purchasing audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore. Be part of a different story and support your community. Again, use promo code BOOKSTACKED when you start your membership at Libro.fm. Or check the show notes for a quick link to get started. Offer only valid for new members in the US and Canada.
Everyone, welcome to Bookmarked, a young adult book podcast brought to you by Bookstacked.com. My name is Saul, and I'm joined by Spencer.
Hi, everyone.
And Eleanor.
Hello.
So we are super excited to finally meet again for another book club pick. It's been a long time. I think we've only done one this year, but if you listen to the announcement that we released a few weeks ago, you know that we are hoping to fit in a couple of more before the end of the year. I mean, really, we're hoping to fit in a couple more before the show ends. Anyway, one of our favorite things, though, has always been getting together and talking about books we enjoy or just talking about books in general, and the book club has been a wonderful way to do that. So yes, we are hoping to fit in a couple more, starting with Squad by Maggie Tokuda Hall, illustrated by Lisa Stirl. And so, yeah, let's just go ahead and jump in. So I want to start by asking you, how do you feel about Squad? Just general impressions. Did you like it? Did you dislike it? What are your thoughts? I know I did see Eleanor's review on on Instagram. I don't know, do we want to start with you, Eleanor?
Yeah, sure. So I ended up giving it 2.5 stars, which now that I say it out loud feels a little bit mean. I think I just wanted to enjoy it more than I did. But I also think that's partly because it is such a quick read that I personally need longer things just to get more immersed in the story. And this one just felt like it was over, like, way too fast. I mean, I read it in, like, 20 minutes, so that's probably my own fault. But I enjoyed the premise and, like, I enjoyed the concept of it. It just didn't quite tick all the boxes for me.
I think that's fair. I actually think I share a lot of the same critiques as you for this book. I think I would give it 3, maybe 3.5. I love the concept, and there's, I think, a really strong message in there as well. But I agree, I do like things that are fleshed out a little bit more, or just, I don't know, longer. But those are definitely things we can talk about in a little bit. And it's also just part of, I think, the genre of graphic novels. They have a lot to fit in. They don't get all of that prose and all of the text. A lot of it is illustrations and stuff. And I do have to say, I really loved the art style for this book. It was really well done. And just like the atmosphere of like the darkness and everything. I don't know. It's kind of creepy. There's some creepy pages in this book, and bloody pages as well. So yeah, I think I liked it overall, but I do agree. I think actually of all the book club books we've done thus far, it's probably not my favorite, but I still thought it was a lot of fun.
I quite enjoyed reading Squad, but I do agree with a lot of what you're saying. I think it's almost, I wasn't going to compare it back to previous book club picks, but now that you've mentioned it, Saul, I mean, I think we've also been really lucky to read really moving and really top tier, you know, releases in recent times. And I think this was more of like intended to be a quick fun read, and I think it achieved being a quick fun read. And so I agree that there's maybe some, it left you wanting a little bit more. I think especially with some of the characters, there's a little bit more depth and maybe some backstory and some connections that you would want to get into. But I do think, especially with the timing of the book club, it was excellent because it was a really fun, just kind of horror read. And I really liked the kind of genre this is in that's very reminiscent of, I think, some kind of 90s and early 2000s teen horror. Maybe we'll discuss some of the influences a little bit later, but it reminded me of a lot of things that I've seen before within the genre that was kind of fun. So I like the art style and the way it kind of called back to some of the other favorite films from earlier times.
Yeah, and I like that you made that distinction too. That It's true. I think all of the books that we have read in the book club series of the podcast, they have been really profound, like pretty much each one. And this one is more of just a fun, quick read. And I think that's totally fine. And it's okay to have books like that. I think it's good to mix things up a little bit as well. Try something new. I remember after reading like some of Brandon Sanderson's books back in the day, I went and read Anna and the French Kiss in between, because sometimes you need like a good reset. And it's just good to hop into something that's a little bit more lighthearted. Talking about, I hope this isn't any of your takeaways, which of course, if you've been listening to our book club and joining us over the last couple of years, we always do a round of takeaways. What did we get from this novel? And we're going to do that in a second. But I hope I'm not stealing one of yours. But to your point, Spencer, how it feels sort of like one of those old time sort of high school flicks. I actually felt like the characters in this story really felt like high schoolers, like the dialogue and just kind of like the things that they were saying and the way they spoke. Again, a lot edgier. If you're somebody who's a little sensitive to language, maybe we have viewers out there who are, maybe that was a turnoff for you. But for me, it felt very realistic, I guess. And you don't always get that. Sometimes when you're reading books, the young characters feel like adults, but these characters really felt like actual high schoolers just in the way they were talking and everything. So I felt like it really captured the high school essence. Like I mentioned, we're going to jump in and sort of talk about our different takeaways.
Okay, just as I alluded to it right off the top, I think one of my takeaways was that horror teen graphic novels are a really fun space, like that I want to return to. As much as I read graphic novels, I haven't read too many within the horror genre, and this was really fun. And it was fun because it was reminiscent to me of movies like Heathers or Mean Girls or even Jennifer's Body, that it was kind of centered on this clique of teenage girls, and I had a lot of fun with that. And it also made some callbacks to Buffy the Vampire Slayer. The first chapter in this book is called Welcome to Piedmont, however you want to pronounce the name of the town, I wasn't sure, which is similar to the title of the first episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And even in the art style, it felt reminiscent of, I felt like Archie comics that I had grown up reading and other kind of earlier teen comics and some of the art choices. And so with all of that, it felt like it had a strong genre feel. And it's definitely the type of feel like I would want to look for in other graphic novels.
Yeah, I think you're right. And one of the things I appreciate too, though, is even though it does harken back to all of those older films, is it felt very modern and contemporary, like updated a bit, especially in terms of like representation, which is something we're always looking for and talking about here at Bookstacked in large and small details. And so I really appreciated that it's able to call back and harken back to some of those classics, if lack of a better word, but also it's able to recognize like, oh, we're in 2022 or 2021 and people are diverse and we're celebrating that more. And it really leaned into that and just embraced that through the art style, through the characters and their different identities. Of course, there's the big twist at the end, which I guess you can kind of see coming, but still was cool to see Becca and oh my gosh, I'm spacing on her name. Becca and Marley. Still cool to see Becca and Marley sort of finally like come together at the end, because those two really did feel like outsiders in a sense compared to Ariana and Mandy. There was just like more of a special connection between them. And so I don't know, just embracing those different identities a lot more than some of those older stories that we're acquainted with. I really appreciated that. Actually, speaking of Mandy and Marley, I really liked their character arc. And I think of everything in this story, that was probably my favorite thing. It was actually satisfying to kind of see them pull away from the pack, from the squad. And so for me, what I really appreciated about this story is that, and I think is really great, especially for young readers and teenagers, it's that finding your squad or your group of people, the people that mean something to you, it's not necessarily always easy. And sometimes like correction has to be made. I think in this case, you have Marley who feels like an outsider, who feels different. Or sorry, not Marley, Becca, the main character. She feels like an outsider. She feels different. And she wants to find her place. And suddenly you have this group of girls who is really... were really interested in her and who want to bring her in. And there's just for her, you know, that's really exciting. But as time goes on, she realizes, you know, actually, maybe this isn't the best environment for me. Maybe these people, they don't have my best interest at heart. And, you know, we need to be able to take a stand and like recognize when we need to pull back, and we need to find the people that do care about us. And so I really appreciated that message. For me, that was honestly the best part of the entire story. And for me, that was its strength, is that it's willing to explore that, because that's so difficult. First off, to find friends and to find people. So the big question is, are you meeting the right people? Are you surrounding yourself with the right people? And I really appreciated this book because it really answered that question. And it really, I feel like, really gave a great message that sometimes you need to stand up for yourself and stick up for yourself.
I actually really appreciate that you brought that up, because I think I kind of struggled to like find deeper meaning in this book. I think probably because I read it in one go, and it just sort of, I'm not used to reading graphic novels, so I'm not used to like taking on board the imagery along with the dialogue. So now that you've like mentioned that, I can see it more. So I think that's like, it's nice to have people to like talk about books like this with, because you get so much more out of it from like listening to someone else. Because yeah, I liked that Becca's really desperate to like be accepted, and she wants friends and things, but it's nice to show that that's not always how things work out, but still things can be good even if like the first bit doesn't last.
Yeah, and I think in your defense too, it really wasn't obvious to me till the very end of the book, even though all the seeds are kind of planted there and they establish, like, especially where Becca is in her headspace really early on in the story. Still, for me, it wasn't until I got to the very end and, you know, she's finally with Marley, that's where kind of it all came together for me, and I was able to see that. And it took a little bit of time kind of thinking about it too to really catch on to that theme and that idea.
Yeah, I think the werewolf element, you know, functioned as a really apt metaphor in that regard, having that universal teenage and I agree with you, Saul, even young adult and adult experience of wanting to find a friendship group or wanting to find a squad with which you can feel a part of. Having this pack of werewolves kind of act as that friend group was, I think, fun. And because you also had the added element of the kind of werewolf dynamics of having an alpha wolf who's in charge, etc., and the ways that that can I think be reflected in non-werewolf relationships too. If you've ever been in a group of friends where one person seems to kind of feel like they're the boss of the friend group, it's kind of unpleasant, and you sometimes have to find a way to kind of force them out. And so I think that the fantasy elements, the werewolf twist was a good way to explore some of those themes that you're pulling at, Saul.
What about you, Eleanor? What stuck out to you as your reading squad?
The biggest thing that stuck out to me was the way that the pack fed, like that they chose specific guys to go after, which in some ways is like, you know, like I've seen it done before in that, you know, they're trying to subvert it by you going after the bad one, like the worst of the worst, to try and like validate your actions. You know, I dread how you're going to react to this, but you know how like in Twilight and Edward's always like, oh, I only kill like the murderers when he was feeding on humans, and that like justifies the fact that he has to do it. I think that's kind of been brought in here, but I really liked it, and I kind of wish they kind of stuck with that a little bit more, just for the kind of horror element of it, because like it is really graphic the way that they go after these men, but also like part of you is like, yeah, do it, like part of you kind of justifies them as well, even though they're doing something horrific. There's still a little part of you, like the way that I think they've written it and the way that the images work with it to show like these men are being like predatory and just generally awful. You kind of want them to get justice, and you kind of feel bad about it because it's like an incredibly horrific form of, that's not even justice, but you know, like, yeah, I don't know. Does that make me sound like a person?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was just saying maybe a vengeance, like it's not necessarily justice, but it's vengeance. Or I really like that twist. It makes you question who is actually the predator. Is it the wolves, or are it these, you know, these men who are taking advantage of women?
Throughout kind of history, you often see werewolves used as kind of a representation of the monster within, you know, as humans are turning into these ferocious beasts. And in this case, you did really question who were the monsters. Was it these young women, or was it these young men? Who's really doing the monstrous thing here? And I think it was a really interesting representation of almost kind of maybe some of the anger that Becca and the other young girls were feeling within, for the way that they had been obviously treated by these young men. And even I was noticing, I think the book included a lot of moments where there were almost kind of these microaggressions that Becca was experiencing, either comments that her mom would make or comments that her classmates would make about her being Asian, about her being queer, about her being a girl, that she just kind of didn't respond to in those moments. There are just these like microaggressions that would happen, and she would just kind of swallow and go on with things. But then I think when she was presented with this choice to become a werewolf and to be given power, I could see why she decided to actually join the group and say, yeah, actually, as a young teenager who is feeling left out and who is feeling put down, someone is offering me some power and a way to do something about it, and I'm going to take that. And so, again, I think the werewolves worked, because I think I could understand Becca's motivation. And like Eleanor said, found myself kind of sickly cheering for some of these feeding moments when they're attacking these men out in the forest. And I'm like, yeah, get them, go for it. And I'm kind of questioning, why am I feeling that way? So I think it worked.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think it's a really good metaphor for like feminine rage. Just generally, like, you know, you see a lot of women say that they always feel like they have this like anger inside of them all the time, or like they're always on the edge of something dramatic. And I think this is a really interesting way to explore that. And especially in like a teenage body that is also, emotions are even more heightened and you're trying to figure out who you are. I think it's a really interesting way of like dealing with that feeling of just being angry at the world and how the world treats you, whether it's Becca because of her heritage or because Marley's kind of, I don't know, they kind of treat her as like a bit of like the dumb one, you know, and like there's always the trio, you know, they each have their own things to be insecure on, their own things that other people make fun of them for, but then they have this one thing that like bonds them together. I just really enjoyed the way that that kind of works as a metaphor for the werewolf being like, in other literature, the werewolf is kind of generally men, like becoming this personification of like manliness in air quotes. Whereas in this, it's doing that for the woman instead. And it's, yeah, I quite liked that there's a trope, I think, being subverted there.
I agree. And I liked even the look of the werewolves felt like that too. They were a little more like sleek and slim and almost snake-like, and they kind of almost creeped and crawled as opposed to just this ferocious display of angry masculinity or something. And so I think even the art did a really good job of subverting some of those werewolf tropes.
Yeah, there was just something really cool about their design. Like, they just looked actually creepy and scary. Like, if you took the silhouette of them and like, I don't know, you were to go camping or you would go out into a forest and like you saw that in the distance, that would freak you out. Like, I just thought it was really, really great. That's kind of something that I've always kept an eye on when I'm looking at fantasy stories that have werewolves. I'm always looking at the werewolf design because I usually want something that's kind of creepy and freaky. And oftentimes they don't really deliver, but I felt like this one did a really good job at that.
Since we were just commenting on the art style of the werewolves, before we move on, I thought it would be good to just ask what were your thoughts on just the art of the story, especially if reading graphics novels is kind of new to you. I'm always interested to hear how you felt the art played a role in the story. For me, I really liked it. Like I mentioned before, it felt kind of reminiscent of the style of early kind of teen comics like Archie and Sabrina. But I particularly loved the fashion. I felt like the illustrator did an excellent job in capturing all the different outfits, especially because in graphic novels, it can be typical to see, a character in the exact same clothes for the entire story, like you come to expect in TV shows and things, right, where it's just easier to draw the character the same way every time. And so the fact that in this story, the girls had like these completely different outfits for every party or every occasion, I thought it really added to the story. And I'm wondering if there's any other parts of the art that stuck out that you two noticed.
I think I noticed that too a little bit. Also, speaking of which, just Shout out to that old, I mean, this is really going to age myself, Nickelodeon show, As Told by Ginger. That was an animated cartoon where they changed their outfits in every episode. I remember that was a really unique thing about that show. What I really liked about the art style in this case was sometimes it, for lack of a better word, it seemed sloppy, but like intentionally. So for example, when they would have like those wider shots, establishing shots at like a party or something, artists didn't feel the need to like draw every little detail of a person's face. Sometimes you would have even characters that are like missing an eye or something. And it's just like, you know, it was intentional. It wasn't a mistake. And I think it really lent itself to like the action sequences. And that's one of the things I really enjoy about graphic novels is how do they capture action, because they're just still images. But sometimes, you know, you might have characters that are showing action, like their motions might be blurry, or like their shape or the form of them or the details might not all be there, and that's just showing that there's movement going on in the panel or on the page. And I thought they did a really good job with that, and especially in all of those like party scenes, because that's where all the murders are happening.
Yeah, and on top of that, it felt like I could watch it happen as well. Like, I felt really, really easy to imagine it being like a TV show, like a cartoon TV show, and watching those sequences felt even more alive than it would do in a traditional novel.
Yeah, it brings the horror to life, and I think they did a good job too of balancing, like, it was pretty gruesome, but it wasn't like too gruesome, you know, like it kind of left some up to your imagination, which I think is probably a good choice. But I liked even like the chapter pages or the breaks between chapters kind of had like blood splattered pages, little choices like that, that just kind of reminded you like this is a horror and this is can only go wrong. Like there's only bad things ahead if you're going to keep reading.
One of the things that was mentioned earlier was that because it's a graphic novel, like obviously there are a lot of strengths, like the art, for example, but then it's got limitations, right? You don't have the prose that you might normally be used to in a novel. And I don't read a ton of comics and graphic novels, but I think I've read a lot over the years, but they're not like my go-to genre usually. Going into it, I kind of expected, you know, not to quite get like the super, super deep. Well, I don't want to say super deep. I think there are a lot of like really deep comics and graphic novels out there. But, you know, I knew what kind of experience to expect coming into it. That said, there were some things that I wish they had maybe like really fleshed out a little bit more. One of the things that kept coming to me was, and of course, eventually it does come up. But, you know, as it's going month by month and they're like murdering more and more people, I'm like, why are we not hearing any news about people like freaking out about this string of murders that has apparently been going on for 2 years? And eventually they do bring that in. But that's like one of those things where, you know, I wonder if because you can only have so many pages in a graphic novel, you know, the pages have to be thick and hefty to support all of the ink. So that just means less pages, you know, in the actual binding of the book. I wondered if those are type of things that could have maybe been explored a bit more. What's her name? Allison, who shows up at the end. I thought she was a super interesting character, but she's mentioned at one point and then she's very quickly introduced just in time for the resolution of the story. I wondered if some of those things could have been fleshed out a bit more if it had been in a different format.
I felt like a lot of it was quite surface level, like not the themes necessarily, but like the characterization. Like, you don't really know anything about the characters at all. And that was something that kind of bothered me a little bit with this. Even especially Becca, like, you know, we see her with a mom and they've obviously got a really fraught relationship and there's clearly, like, all sorts of stuff going on behind there, but we don't actually get to hear about any of it and we don't know about Becca's past or her previous school or... Like, I just wanted to know a little bit more about the characters. I think that's why I struggled to kind of really get invested in it because I didn't have anything to make me really care about the characters. Like I didn't feel like I knew them enough to really get that involved.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that's maybe the weaker point of the book is the characterization or kind of lack of depth to some of the characters and their stories. And in a a good thing is, like, it leaves you wanting that, right? Like, the characters are enjoyable and interesting enough that you want more of it. But I do also wish, yeah, we saw a little bit more to the mom, or a little bit more to Becca and Marley's relationship. And for me in particular, I also was very interested in the Allison character, and the fact that you had this whole other wolf pack that was operating in a similar way, that had, you know, other wolves that we hardly met at all. So I feel like there could have been, yeah, more given to some of those side characters.
Like I said earlier, I think there are a lot of graphic novels and comics out there that do accomplish these things. And so part of me wonders if maybe this could have been longer, or should have been longer, or maybe even, especially because as much as it sucks, like, you just want to think that art is art, but it's also, like, especially in books, it's actually a product, and there are marketing and business decisions that have to be made. So I'm sure the writer and illustrator are all working, and editors are all working within these limitations. But, you know, then I kind of wonder too, like, could it even be, is this a larger story that could be told in volumes or something?
We all seem to agree that we are wanting more from this story, and that it started out with an excellent premise. And so this might be a surprise to you. I'm interested to hear your reactions. It was a surprise to me when I finished reading and I looked up some reviews about the novel and things. And as I was Googling, this graphic novel is actually optioned for film. It's going to be turned into either a movie or a TV series. And that was agreed on before the graphic novel was even released, which was interesting. And what was interesting to me was that it was purchased by PictureStart, which is a relatively new company whose name I recognized in the news because they also just bought the rights to Iron Widow, one of our previous book club selections that we all loved. I don't know what his title would be, the owner or the president or the big producer at PictureStart was a producer behind Twilight, Hunger Games, Divergent, a whole ton of other, you know, YA movies that you would have loved over the years. This PictureStart is a company that formed in 2019 with major investors like Warner Brothers, and Scholastic gave them a ton of money, and they've agreed to adapt some Scholastic books like Animorphs. So that's a lot of information, but all that to say, I was kind of surprised, pleasantly so, that a big production company with some big names behind it is going to adapt this, and I'm quite confident that they'll turn it into something really quite good with the history of all those other movies that we mentioned that we've all loved so much. This could be something really, really special and coming down the line.
Yeah, I think his name is Eric Feig is the guy. And like you mentioned, he's a pretty big name in YA that readers probably don't know his name, but within the industry, his name is very well recognized. Like, he's the guy who buys up all the rights to all the books. I just did a quick search for him on Bookstacked because we've written articles about him. He's like got Night Circus, you know, 10 years ago, even Eleanor and Park and things like that. So this is the same. These are the same people. And that's exciting. I actually think that this could really lend itself to a TV show format. I feel like the first half of this novel works as like the first episode alone. And because of that, you know, even if you have like 5 episodes, you could really expand on this story a lot. There's a lot there to explore.
Yeah, I feel like it could be like a modern day, well, it's like a new version of like Vampire Diaries and you know, those sorts of TV shows that were on when I was younger. Could be like the new generation's version of that. You know, it's got much more like depth to it. It's got all these social issues and representation and stuff in it, but also it's got that YA kick that is really going to drive a lot of people to watch it, I think.
Yeah, I think it could really work as a TV show, and I just thought it was quite a coincidence that in the same week I was hearing about Iron Widow, another book selection pick, I was like, maybe Eric Feig wants to reach out to us to be a part of his team, because we seem to have similar tastes in book selections. So if he needs some help choosing his next adaptation, maybe it should be our next book club pick.
Yeah, it's not like we'll be podcasting, so we'll have plenty of time. That's a sad way to to end things with that reminder. No, but that's great. Thanks, Spencer. I clearly didn't Google enough, and I didn't know that coming into this. So that's actually really good to hear, because it is one of those things where I feel like it is such a solid premise. I feel like even the characters, like Eleanor said, I would like to know more about them, but you know, for what we get, I think they're pretty solid. And I think there's a lot that can really be, like, I think that this is a really great foundation for something like a TV show. Like, it would be a great start to something that could be really cool. Well, I think that's everything we have for this book club discussion. Trying to keep it a bit short. It was a short book, but it was a lot of fun. And I just think it was perfect for the season. So thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed Squad. We hope you enjoyed listening to our book club discussion. Do you guys want to let people know where they can find you on social media?
Yeah, so you can find me on a new Bookstagram account, which is athenes.owl.
And you can find me on Instagram at YA Canada Books.
Just to let people know, both Eleanor and Spencer are like Instagram wizards and they're amazing at it. So not me, on the other hand. I'm not much of a bookstagrammer or anything. But if you wanted to follow me, you could look up Saulmerk. It's SEULMERQ on Twitter or Instagram. Follow me there. All those will be in the show notes, so you can get to those accounts very quickly. And of course, you can also follow Bookstacked. Just look up Bookstacked on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. And you can also follow this podcast at BookmarkedYA. We hope to see you there. And again, we are going to have, we're hoping to have at least one more book club episode coming out. So please keep an eye on your feed. We'll be announcing what that is pretty soon. And yeah, until then, bye.
Bye.
Bye.